So the Bible readings for this morning, there are 4. So the first one is Proverbs 11, verse 1. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Proverbs 22:8-9. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And Galatians 6, 7-9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen.
Well, today, as we've all guessed, is Harvest Festival, and what a great spread of stuff people have bought, which, as has already been said, is going to two very, very worthy charities. And we are going to be sowing into those charities and sowing into the lives of the people who receive the goods. And we want to pray for all of the Christian workers who will be actually distributing the stuff that we've bought today. And of course, when we think of Harvest Festival, we're thinking of all the good stuff that God has given to us. That we are well fed. I'm well fed, too well fed. That we are very well dressed and clothed. Okay, you're not sure about that one. And we thank God for him giving us life and for every good thing, don't we? And yet at times we also have to thank God when it's not going quite so well in our lives, when we're struggling a bit. Perhaps some manure has dropped upon us and it's felt a bit smelly and we're having to push through it to get to the sunlight, if you can see the analogy. But we still need to pray and praise God through it all. And when we think of Harvest Festival, I guess most of us, the first thing we think of is food and drink. And we particularly think about food and what it takes to grow our food. I love watching YouTube. Has anyone got a smart telly with YouTube on it? I'm so blessed to have a smart telly. And so I look at YouTube, and the advances in agriculture are so impressive. I even watched a 15-minute YouTuber on amazing mechanical farming techniques. It was unbelievable. And there was an amazing machine. It wrapped itself around the bough of a plum tree, and it opened up like a net, and then it vibrated the tree, and then all the plums dropped down, and it fell down the middle, and it got taken up a conveyor belt into the back of the lorry. It was amazing. It was incredible, the inventiveness of human beings, the productiveness of human beings in actually making a harvest. And of course, when we think about sowing a seed and it grows up into something, that is a farming analogy that Jesus spoke a lot about in his day, didn't he? He spoke an awful lot about the normal things of life in his day. Now, in Galatians 6:7, the Apostle Paul highlights what I've called a fundamental principle in the Bible. A fundamental principle in the Bible. And I'm sure you picked it up as Jenny read it. And if it's the only sentence you remember, then this is the principle of God. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. And the word he is generic in old language for all humanity. We know that. But just in case, ladies, you missed the point, for whatever a person sows, she will also reap. Fair enough? Now, when we think about sowing and reaping, we immediately think of money, don't we? As human nature, the first thing we often go to is money. And we often think the church is always asking for money, don't we? That's our first kind of thinking. But the principle of sowing and reaping covers every aspect of life, not just money. Sowing and reaping covers what we say. There is power in words. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words actually will always hurt me. The power of our tongue. So the principle of sowing covers what we say. If we say bad things, continuously say bad things, we can expect others to say bad things back. Our tongues can sow good or can sow evil. The principle of sowing and reaping, it covers our attitude in our thinking. It covers our attitude to life. It covers our attitude to church. It covers our attitudes to our family and our neighbors. It covers our attitude towards ourselves. If we have a positive attitude, then whatever's happening in life, life seems positive. I live with a very positive lady. Helena is a very positive person, and whatever's happening in life, she will always see the goodness of God in it. It can be quite annoying for me, who has a tendency to be a little bit melancholic, to be a little bit on the downside of life, particularly when life is getting tough. But you know, I'd rather be like Helena with her positive attitude than the self-destructive approach I can often take to myself if life is getting a bit tough. Am I the only one with a self-destructive attitude? So the principle of sowing and reaping covers our words, it covers our attitudes, and ultimately, of course, it covers our behavior. If we behave badly, then bad things will probably happen to us. And you know, I was a prison chaplain for 10 years, 8 months, and 2 days. I need healing. And I always remember preaching about sowing and reaping, not this exact sermon at all, but I was preaching about sowing and reaping, and I'm looking at all these guys knowing what they've sown. They've sown stealing. They've sown lying. They've sown whatever they've sown. Actually, their harvest was a prison sentence. But the joy that I had when one lad suddenly got the point. My goodness, I'm here because I've sown that life. And it's caught up with me, and I'm now in prison for 10 years. He got the point. It was a revelation to him. He'd never thought that his behavior, he was sowing stuff, and therefore the law of God means he would reap stuff. And so sowing and reaping covers what we say, our attitude, and our behavior. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The good news is, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And this law of sowing and reaping applies to every single area of our lives. And what I want to do is just go through some laws, I think there are 5 of them, some laws of the harvest. And law one, if I switch myself on, law one, there are 5 laws of the harvest. Law one, the harvest is limited to the planting. Now, I hope you can see this on our graphic. I can see it quite well from here. I've got a big plowed field, but I've only got 1 cabbage in it. And there's only 1 cabbage in it because the sower only sowed 1 seed. Therefore, he only got 1 cabbage. So law one, the harvest is limited to the planting. You can only harvest from what you've planted or from what you have sown. In other words, if you haven't sown it, people of God, God cannot multiply it. If you haven't sown it, God cannot multiply it. And one of the clearest pictures of multiplication in Scripture occurs in John 6, and you know the story. Jesus is standing before the 5,000, probably 15,000 after you've added the women and the children. And you remember he takes a little boy's lunch, didn't he? 15,000 people to feed. There's no food. But he takes a packed lunch of a little boy, and there are, what was in it? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And after Jesus takes the loaves and the fishes, and the first thing he does, he gives thanks to God for it. Yeah, the first thing we must do with everything that we have is give thanks to God for it before we sow it. Because giving thanks to God kind of releases heaven over it, which is why we pray over the offering. We want God to multiply and to use it for his furtherance. So after Jesus takes the loaves and the fishes, he thanks God, he blesses the food, and then he just carries on distributing it. Can anyone tell me how much food was left over? 12 baskets of food. 12 baskets, one for each of the tribes of Israel, I'm sure. One for each of the 12 apostles, I'm sure. Whatever the analogy is, there were 12 baskets left over. And this miracle that Jesus did demonstrates the pattern of multiplication. It's only what we put into the hands of Jesus that can be multiplied. If you keep everything to yourself, then to yourself it will stay. But if you sow it into something else, two things happen. You are a blessing in whatever circumstance you sow, and then God has an amazing way of bringing that blessing back upon you in great abundance. Amen? Amen. Now, this miracle does demonstrate that pattern. But you see, we tend to reverse God's miracles. We tend to say, well, if God multiplies what I have first, well, if God gives me more first, then I'll give some back to him second. Is that the way it works? No. That little boy, when he handed over his packed lunch, I'm sure he was quite hungry. I'm sure he still thought, well, that's my packed lunch for me. He's probably been looking forward to eating it all morning. But he saw the need, and he gave it all away. Everything he gave away to Jesus, and it was used. And that boy ate more to his fill. I'm sure he took back one of the baskets for his family. God says, give it away, and it will multiply. Give away blessings from your mouth, and blessings will come back on to you. Give away money in your wallet. And we had testimony, didn't we, from Christine, how amazingly God, through circumstances, brings back the blessing that she has more than what she started with. Hallelujah. Give it away. Give it away in your behavior. We're giving this away. We're giving this away. And God will multiply it. God also says, I think it's in the Bible. Actually, I should have looked it up. I've looked to Clyde to confirm this. I'm sure it says, give it away and it will multiply. It's better to give than it is to receive. You remember that? You know your Bibles very well. And if we apply these principles of God, then actually, we're not only being a blessing, but we will also be blessed. So that was law number one. You can only harvest what you plant. Law number two, the harvest comes later than the planting. I don't know if you're like me, I want instant, everything to happen now. I want the building finished now. Those who have worked with me will understand that because of the forcing I was given. I want it finished now. But we have to be patient. Law two, the harvest comes later. Sometimes it's much later than the sowing. So the hard part about it is having the patience to see the whole sowing through to the harvest. Amen? You see, this is why many people don't see the harvest. They start off well and they sow well, but they give up too soon. And when we give up our expectation of God blessing us too soon, then actually we're sowing negativity upon ourselves, and we're binding the hand of God, so to speak, and we're less likely to be blessed. We need to see it through to the end, not just at the beginning. And it can take time to nurture a crop, and it can take time for the results to come in. You see, what we sow today, we won't see the return until the next season of life, when it has come to its full germination. So what we sow today, we have to expect to allow some time for the harvest to come back to us and to see it in the world. You see, sowing, it's all about the future, isn't it? It's not about today. It's about the future. It takes time for things to grow. And the future is well worth the wait. If we sow the right stuff in due season, it will come back. And so therefore, to reap a good harvest requires patience. Not my greatest virtue. Patience, not my greatest virtue. It demands patience and persistence in prayer. It demands patience and persistence in waiting. You know, sometimes I go to the doctors and sometimes I think I'm going to have to wait 2 hours for an appointment. I don't want to go to the doctors, and so I don't book the appointment. And what happens? My ailment gets worse because I couldn't have the patience to wait to see the doctor. Anyone like me? I'm sure you're not. And we need patience with other people. And we also need to nurture patience with God Almighty. That's a more profound one. Sometimes God is waiting for our patience with Him to be fulfilled. He's waiting to see what our reaction to Him is after we've sown something. Will we wait patiently and praise Him? Or along our journey, will we get frustrated and will we curse Him? Sometimes we need to have and foster continual patience with God. So law two, the harvest comes later than the sowing. Law number three. Hallelujah about harvesting. The harvest is greater than the sowing. The harvest is greater than what you plant. Unless you only plant one cabbage seed, okay? What comes back is always greater than what you sowed. If you plant a wheat seed up on the screen, it will turn into a wheat stalk that can produce 100 wheat seeds. Jesus told us that himself. The law of greater says that what starts small multiplies into something much bigger than what you began with. This church started small 30 years ago, and this church has multiplied to what it is today, and it's an abundant blessing, and it is producing an amazing harvest. Amen? Amen? We are part of the harvest of the sowing that was done all those years ago. What is God going to do through what we are sowing in the future? I look forward to see what happens. Jesus talked about in the harvest coming back to us 30, 60, and 100 fold. And of course, for us, we are sowing a harvest for eternal life. Paul says in Galatians 6:8, we reap eternal life from the Spirit by our sowing. And in 2 Corinthians, he calls this the harvest of righteousness. You know, the more we look like Jesus, the more we act like Jesus, the more we speak like Jesus, the more we bless people like Jesus, the more we hold brothers and sisters to account even, like Jesus did, the bigger the harvest and the blessing, and we reap eternal life is the ultimate harvest for the Christian. Amen? So we are all of us are works in progress now. Yes, we are growing, we are changing, we are receiving, we are giving out. Ultimately, the fullness of our harvest comes in the kingdom of God in eternal life. We will have a body that, as it was sown perishable. I'm aware of that with my ailments at the moment. It was sown perishable, but the harvest will be an imperishable body, just like Jesus. No sickness, no pain, just a body that can go through the whole universe. Anyway, That's another sermon. So Jesus wanted his disciples to know these principles about sowing and reaping. And Jesus also, because, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples and one of them had to be the accountant. He had to hold the money to make their discipleship work, because you need money, you need finances. And of course, most of the disciples were actually businessmen, weren't they? I mean, Peter, he had a fleet of fishing boats, and someone was a tax collector, and they were people of position, not just necessarily what we often think of people of no position. They had some position. But Jesus wanted them to know, because quite often I bet they had some discussions. Did we really need to spend that? Yeah? And they certainly had a discussion when the woman blessed Jesus, and she broke the perfume, and she anointed him a whole year's wages in one bottle of perfume. And all that criticism came. And actually, through the sowing of Judas at that time, Satan kind of enters him. And he said, enough is enough. Because he was caught up in money. Jesus wanted to break that issue and say, your whole life is about sowing and reaping. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, what you value, where that is, that's where your heart will be also. There are so many more important things in life than just finance. There's friendship, family, fun. I went for three Fs: family, fun, family, friendship, to name a few. But the point is this: we must sow good things to reap a good harvest. Invest our treasure in heaven and watch our heart follow it. Amen. Having our heart set on heaven is far greater than having our heart set on cash. Amen. So, law number three, the harvest is greater than the planting. Law number four, coming close to an end, the harvest is proportional to the planting. If you plant one seed, then you'll get kind of one plant. But if you plant a dozen seeds or a handful of seeds, you'll get a dozen plants or a handful of plants. The harvest is proportional to how much you sow. And here is a startling biblical truth. In some ways, our generosity towards God and towards others often determines his generosity towards us. True? True. If we invest minimally in God's kingdom, then we can't expect to get much out of God's kingdom. If we invest minimally, we will reap minimally. If we invest greatly, then we can sit back and we can watch the amazing things that God does. Christine's testimony, first thing she does is set aside her tithe. And then she sits back with all of the issues and she just watches God. What a testimony that was. Sorry, Christine, I don't wish to embarrass you. I promise I won't embarrass you again in another sermon, but it impacted me so greatly, because the blessing comes when we give. So to those of you who are excessively generous, I'm sure you know that God is excessively generous back towards you. And the point is, we can't outgive God. So law number four, the harvest is proportional to the planting. And finally, law number five, and this is an important one, which so many Christians can often get confused about. Finally, law number five is this: we can't do anything about this year's harvest, or indeed last year's harvest, but hallelujah, we can change next year's. What does that mean? We can't change the past sowing that we have done, but boy, we can change the future sowing and the future harvest. We can't do anything about last year's sowing and the harvest that we are reaping, but hallelujah, if it's only negative that we're receiving, we can change our attitude, change our words, change our giving style, and then in next year's harvest, we can receive a blessing. You see, we reap today what we sowed yesterday. That prisoner had sowed thieving, and he reaped a prison sentence. We reap today what we sowed yesterday. And actually, that holds us accountable, and I don't like that. I'm sure you don't like it either. We all like to think we're good people, that we're only doing good things, but actually, we're not. We get it wrong, and there's a consequence for yesterday's sowing. We are living for God now, but the consequences of our past sowing just seems to keep rearing its ugly head. Am I the only one? You can't do much to change the harvest that you're reaping today. Even if you pray about it, even if you ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you, but the consequences of your sowing are not just going to vaporize and go away. God holds us accountable for our words. He holds us accountable for our behavior. And some of us, maybe a lot of us, are battling with the harvest of 10 years ago, a harvest of 15 years ago. We pray about it. We know that we're forgiven, but we're still dealing with the mess of what we sowed. And that is one of the consequences of bad sowing. And we have to deal with that. We need to own it. We need to overcome it. But the point is, we can change the future blessing and the future harvest in our lives. We don't carry sowing the bad stuff. We start sowing the good stuff. God will not always. He will forgive bad sowing, but he will not always eliminate the tough harvest that we're living in now. It's just a principle of God, and we wrestle with it. We can overcome it, and I want to encourage you, whatever your circumstances is, be over your circumstances, change what you're sowing, and you will see yourselves walking into blessing rather than continuing with what we could call cursing. So you and I can change our lives today by being empowered to sow seeds of the Spirit today for the harvest of tomorrow. Amen. But we need to have the right mindset. We need to be determined to do it. We need to actually get on and do it. Break the cycles we're in and start. But we need the patience. It will take time for the harvest to come. We can't do anything about yesterday's harvest, but we can sow today to change next year's harvest. An old proverb says this: the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. Isn't it? The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. But what is the second best time to plant a tree? Today. Today. We need to be tree planters today. And we'll get a harvest. It's not going to take 20 years. It might for some. And for some of us, the harvest we might not see until we're in heaven. But for some of us, if we sow a tree today, actually within a year or 18 months, we might be receiving the acorns of the blessing of God from what we have sown. It's time to start sowing different seeds so that we can reap a blessed harvest. What do you and I want to reap next year? What do you and I want our lives to look like in 1 year, 2 year, 3 years time? We have the responsibility of sowing into that vision. We have a responsibility, and what we sow into that vision, if it's good and it's godly and it's right, it's the right thing from our mouths, the right attitude in our heart, then God will bring it back as a harvest. So, in conclusion, we thank God for the physical harvest of all the food that we've received today. We recognize how truly blessed we are in all the things that God has given us. You know, we are reaping stuff we haven't even sown. That's the blessing of God. Amen. We come to him like we did in communion. You know, it's God who has sown his grace and forgiveness. We are receivers of his grace and forgiveness when we come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We must recognize that what we sow is actually what we're going to reap. It's the fundamental Lord of God. We can't blame anybody else. We are responsible for our own sowing. Amen. All of us have sown wrong things, and all of us have paid some price. Or we might still be paying a price. But I want to leave you with this truth, that with God, we can start afresh at any time. Every new day is a blessing from God. We can change what's been happening by changing our sowing for a fantastic harvest in the future. We can start sowing good things today, good words into our relationships, blessings into our relationships instead of criticism and cursing. We can use our words in the right, we can have the right attitude in our minds, start sowing a right attitude in our minds which will come into our hearts and out of our lives, and we certainly can start sowing in our behavior. Blessings will flow. We need patience, we need determination, we need to trust God, but we can start sowing good things today, and we can keep sowing good things tomorrow and every day, and it will produce a harvest tomorrow. Amen. Amen. God bless you.